Chapter 30. Molly was grinning her Cat 1 Canary 0 grin when Jesse got back to the station. It was hard for him not to notice. "What is it, Molly?"
"What's what?"
"That look on your face."
"What look?"
"That grin is about as inconspicuous as the Citgo sign outside Fenway. Let's have it."
"Have what?"
"Is what your new vocabulary word for the day?"
"Could be."
"Crane?"
"Peter got a hit on a fingerprint. Report's on your desk."
"Did Chief Forster call?" Molly tilted her head.
"That bag of leaves from Swan Harbor?"
"I might have misjudged him. He acted like a real cop today."
"Acted" being the operative word there.
Jesse shook his head. "I don't think so. There might be more to him than I thought."
"He didn't call."
"Thanks."
"Jesse?"
"What?"
"Stop stealing my vocabulary words."
"Molly," she whispered to him, though no one else was around,
"how's the not drinking going?"
"Truth?"
"Always."
Not drinking was easy when it was pretending. Real sobriety is rough. Molly seemed to understand.
"Better get in there and look at that report."
"You're still giving orders like the acting chief."
"Sorry."
Jesse gave a small fist pump and headed into his office. Any time he could get Molly to cave, even a little, was a small victory. But the minute he read the report on his desk, the sweet taste of victory turned rancid in his mouth. He looked back and forth between the photos of the man to whom the fingerprints on the flyers belonged and the accompanying pages. Leon Oscar Vanderkamp, a.k.a. the Colonel, a.k.a. the Lion, looked nothing like a big cat, and more like a loyal patron of Colonel Sanders than a military officer. In his most recent photo, he resembled an aging, balding, overweight businessman with jowls and neck skin so loose and expansive it nearly hid his shirt collar. Yet in spite of his girth and fleshy face, Vanderkamp didn't strike Jesse as the sort of man to play Santa Claus at the Volunteer Firehouse Christmas party. There wasn't an ounce of kindness in his cruel mouth or in his icy gray eyes. Jesse found even less humanity in the man's history. Jesse worked his way back from Vanderkamp's arrest record to the self-serving narcissism of the bio Molly had downloaded from the Saviors of Society website, to the far less flattering histories she had culled from the internet. The arrest record was long on misdemeanors, harassment, disorderly conduct, parade without permit, defacement of public property, defacement of private property, et al., that could have easily been misinterpreted or dismissed as petty nuisances or minor violations, had Jesse not been able to match the arrests to newspaper accounts. Vanderkamp and his followers had shown up at funerals of Hispanic, African-American, and Muslim soldiers and harassed the mourners. They destroyed Hanukkah menorahs in public holiday displays and painted Arbeit macht frei on the sidewalks surrounding Jewish cemeteries in small upstate New York towns. He and his followers had come to several Martin Luther King Day celebrations wearing gorilla masks and waving Confederate flags. They would stand across the street from a hospice in a Pennsylvania town that took in AIDS victims and chant, "Burn fags, not flags." There had been some violence, of course. That was the point. They incited others to violence. But none of the charges against Vanderkamp or his followers had them throwing the first punch, tossing the first rock, or hurling the first bottle. It wasn't lost on Jesse that many of the accounts mentioned that flyers had often preceded the public displays and demonstrations. But from what he could discern from Molly's downloads, there had been a long lull in the group's public activities. Jesse went online and searched for accounts of any recent dust-ups involving the Saviors of Society. There weren't any. The last mention of Vanderkamp dated back 14 months to a story titled "The Future of Hate" in Rolling Stone. "Our methods have failed to gain the necessary traction to move our righteous cause forward," Vanderkamp had admitted to the Rolling Stone interviewer. "Sometimes you just got to burn down the house to save it, even if you're still inside. But you can't start a fire with wet matches, son. So we either need to find a way to dry the ones we have, or to find new ones. Vanderkamp may have been many things Jesse Stone detested, but he wasn't stupid. That was too bad, Jesse thought, grabbing his old glove off the desk. Stupidity in a criminal was a cop's best friend. As he pounded the ball into the pocket of his glove, Jesse stared out the office window at Stiles Island and wondered about what was coming his way. His phone rang before his wondering got him very far.